This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Thursday, the 6th of October, 2016. My name is Patrick Smith. No prolonged introduction today because we're very late in the week. That is my fault. I know it's my fault. And the lads will let me know it's my fault and they'll give you the reason why. So we've got plenty on this week's show. We talked to David Rutherford, Derek Walser, Blair Riley, Mike Forney, and we're also visited by Mr. Hitchcock. Let's not mess about. Let's go for it. Well, here we are. It is, I guess we're a few days late. Fully my fault. I will accept culpability for that. And two gentlemen who have been waiting for three patient days as I mess about before coming onto this podcast are Davey and Aaron. How are you, boys?
Paddy, I'm home. It's a beautiful day. And I'm feeling good.
Oh dear, yeah, I'm sort of accepting this. How are you, Aaron? You doing all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm very well. I've just spent the last 5 minutes looking at Michael Bublé tracks, and Davey's stolen all the ones I know. So
I'm just going to
leave it there.
Hold on, yes, I was at Michael Bublé last night. It was a BBC Michael Bublé at the BBC. I believe it's on TV on like the 3rd of November, and it was brilliant. I'm not necessarily a big fan of Michael Bublé, but it was a free ticket, and there were only 400 of us there, and it was brilliant. Brilliant. I'm not going to. He's a crooner. What can I say? But you're just jealous. Anyway.
Well, just don't say something stupid, you know.
It's going to be all show, isn't it? Brilliant.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we got plenty to talk about. We only got one game to cover from Saturday. The Belfast Giants took on the Cardiff Devils and were subject to an overtime loss 3-2. The Giants goals coming from Saviano in the power play. We're going to talk about that goal in a second because it was an absolute beauty. Mike Forney as well scored. He's on a rich vein of form. But for the Devils, Bentivoglio and Andrew Hotham scored in regular time, and the power play overtime game-winning goal came from Patrick Aslin, 2 minutes and 37 seconds into OT. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about how the Giants maybe come slow out of the traps, Aaron. That can't be said this time around. The Giants came out firing.
They did, and they were superb for the first period especially. And it was a definite, you know, I think obviously we weren't the only people that had realised it. I think the coaching staff and the players themselves had picked up on having to fight their way back into games. And, you know, speaking to them after, they all said that they'd focused all week on getting out to that fast start, and it paid off. Then we got the early power play, got a goal on it. As you said, it was absolutely fantastic bit of play. Then another goal not long after, and things were looking very, very good early, a 2-0 lead, early in the first period. But, you hear the people say that 2-0 is the worst lead in hockey, and I suppose so it proved again.
Yeah, Davey, you know, the Giants seem to have a bit between their teeth. We heard last week as well from Derek Walser, we've heard from various people that with all due respect to the Gardner Conference teams and the teams in our Challenge Cup group, this was the real first big test for the Giants. And in that first period, they seemed to stand up well.
We did, and I over the course of the game, there wasn't a terrible lot between the two things. I think the right result on the night was the Devils coming out with the extra point. I think they absolutely smothered us. They came with very good, well set up. You know, they hard in the forecheck, high in the forecheck. Like almost, we were discussing tactics the other day and what way it was almost like a basketball full court press. They pinned us in our own zone. When we had the puck, they made it hard for us to get out. And we were forced to dump pucks out of our own zone and let them come back at us. And I think a couple of things that bugged me the other night. I thought our passing was poor at times. You know, we weren't hitting sticks with passes. We made bad decisions on the rush. We were getting caught offside, and we weren't able to get that puck deep because players are maybe just making a move around the red line rather than getting it deep and going in. Then your wingers are on their heels, and you're not getting in any sort of rush. And we're giving the Devils time to regroup. And they're a good team, you know. Bentivoglio scores an absolute wonder goal. I thought Gleeson Fournier at the back end for them is a special talent.
And, very good player.
Yeah, and you know, Aslan comes up with the winner in OT. Unfortunately, you know, there's a couple of times that has happened over the last number of weeks where players have been allowed to step out, come to the hash marks and get a shot away without taking any contact from any Belfast player. So, you know, there is a lot to work on. As I say, the 3-2 defeat at home against a very well-drilled team is a disappointment. But we had our opportunities towards the end of that game. Bounds comes up with two great saves with, you know, just minutes left on the clock. And we had opportunities through the night to win that game. So I'm not completely despondent about it, but there is a lot to work on. Our penalty kill is still a concern. I'm sure we'll talk about that later in the game. But tactically, you know, the Devils were really short-shifting. They were coming with energy, constantly just going. You know, they were aggressive. They were possessive when they had the puck. And, you know, all in all, say, I think it was the right result overall, but disappointing that we maybe just didn't take sort of what's happened over the last number of seasons, chances to win games, not taking them, and then coming up and coughing a goal up at the other end and you're out of it.
I want to come back to the whole aspect of the tactics in a few minutes, but Davey, your take on that goal, the Saviano goal, the work from the Giants to actually create that on a power play, the fluency in the goal is one thing that really stood out to me. It was fantastic.
One of the things that you want on your power play is movement from your players. You're always, as a fan, when you're standing in the stands and there's a static power play, you're, come on, move your feet. And what we did in that power play, and we didn't do it an awful lot. We had another couple of power play opportunities during the game and we didn't do it the same. We moved our feet and we got into positions and bang, 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 and the puck's in the back of the net. You know, we have that talent when you've got a Forney, when you've got a Higgins and Saviano, you've got speed, you've got skill, you've got power, all those things combined. Just in that instance to produce a lovely goal. And yeah, great to see Saviano getting on the score sheet there and Higgy and Forney doing what they've been doing over the last number of weeks and just keeping that form ticking over. Good power play. Didn't happen enough during the game.
I'm going to throw in here the interview that, Aaron, you did post-game with Derek Walser.
Hey, Coach, jump back to the start of the game. We spoke the last couple of weeks about maybe not getting off to the quickest starts, but I think tonight we jumped out really well from the start and got ahead early and looked like we were maybe going to take it on from there.
Well, I thought both teams played well in the first. I thought it was a really, really solid game. And then even early in the second, I thought it was pretty even right through the halfway of the second point. Then we got into penalty problems. And that's where I think we sort of lost control and sort of ran out of gas a little bit. And then the third, we were hanging on, but we did a good job defending. And then again, we took an unnecessary penalty in overtime. We can't take those. Those always come back to hurt you. But still early on the year, I'm happy how the guys perform, but we got to find a way to play three solid periods, not a half a game.
And in the second period, I think the Devils, you know, they did a really, really good job of stifling the game and sort of battling their way back in.
Well, they cycle low, and it's not like I warned our forwards going in. They overload real quick. They're strong down low that we got to move our feet, and we just were a couple seconds late on the forecheck, and they did a good job. Like when I said, when teams dump it in, you got to get to the puck first. I know it's not fun getting the puck first with guys barreling down on you, but we got to work on it this week. Is making plays under pressure, and we didn't do a good enough job tonight to break out under pressure. And like I said, you can't play every game perfect. We're close. That's the best thing I can say is we're real close. That's going to be a team that's going to fight for the league. Everyone knows it, and we're that close that, you know, we're just going to sit there and things I can see right from without watching video right now, I know exactly what we got to work on, and we'll work on it this week to improve and just close the gap a little bit more until we meet them next time.
As you say, you know, you got to be pretty happy with you know, battling a tie with a team that is going to be there for the league title and has been up there the last couple of years, but maybe disappointed with how things went in the overtime period.
Well, yeah, we had a power play at the end. We just couldn't seem to, my unit couldn't seem to get a hold of the puck, and then Desnum had a good opportunity at the end there to get one, and then overtime, like I said, you can't take that penalty. You know, we had three good whacks, and then the late cross check, the referee's going to eventually call it, and, you know, it's one of those things. We had opportunities to clear the puck. When you get an opportunity to clear the puck, 4-on-3, 5-on-4, it's got to go out the first time. And we didn't do a real good job on it this week, especially tonight. I thought we had a lot of chances we could have got it out. We couldn't, but we're going to continue to work on that and improve. But I thought we did a lot of good things, a lot of things we improved. And again, we are close. We're not there yet. There's no panic. We're going to just keep working hard and finding a way to get back on track.
Aaron, no excuses there from the coach, especially on the point that I want to bring up now, which is the Jim Vandermeer penalty in overtime. A few people in the stands saying they thought that referee John Schmeichel, if you don't know who John Schmeichel is, his name's Jan Schmeichel, I believe, but if you don't know who John Schmeichel is, you have to go right back to the early days of View from the Bridge. Maybe we'll tweet one of those up. But referee Jan Schmeichel gave a cross-checking penalty to Jim Vandermeer, and no excuses from the coach. He did say it was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, do you know, initially I have to admit, I thought, you know, I still come a wee bit from the school of, you know, it's overtime, let them play. And at the time, I think I sort of thought, oh, maybe that is a bit harsh. And to be fair, I think throughout the game, he had let similar things go. But having watched it back again, you know, Vandermeer right in front of him, and he takes a few whacks and then he throws the cross check, and it almost gets, you know, it's right in front of the referee. It doesn't give him, it really gives him no option but to call it. And unfortunately, you know, it has cost us. So, you know, it's disappointing. Let's hope we learn from it and we don't do it again.
I kind of disagree with Aaron there about the ref letting them go through the rest of the game, because Nickerson early in the second period, a hooking call, Vandermeer with a holding call, which was almost phantom. Nickerson slash Bentivoglio has a hooking call. Vandermeer has a trip, which is well picked up by the referee, but he called everything. I thought he was pretty consistent. I think that 80% of what he called the other night was incredibly soft, but he called it all. He was consistent. You're going to get this from these European refs that come in. I'm not sure whether, as he came from Denmark, I'd guess, with his name, you know. I assume he's from a Danish league or another. He's from another European league. I'm correct in that?
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah, so these guys are going to come in. And this could bear fruit for the GB team later in the year. If the GB players get used to getting, you know, refed by these players, we get, you see when GB go to these championships and they're refereed then by these European refs who call everything, and all of a sudden GB spend half the game on the penalty kill. I Vandermeer, it was a penalty. He's had two big slashes at him, then he's threw a cross check. It's one of those ones that perhaps Darnell or Hicks or somebody doesn't call, but Schmeichel had called them all night long. You go back through the 10 or so penalties that there were in the game. As I say, most of them were soft calls. But, you know, 10 years ago, just wouldn't have been a penalty in that game. Nickerson's first one's hooking, you know, his stick's parallel to the ice. You're going to get called for it nowadays.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, the referee, I think, has called soft all night, but he's called consistently. And that's what players want more than anything, is the consistency that, you know, if you put your stick on somebody when Schmeichel's reffing, you're getting a penalty. Keep your stick on the ice. If you cross-check somebody, you're going to bend. It doesn't. I'm not from that school that let them play in overtime. If you're going to call it in the first minute of the game, call it in the last minute of the game.
I agree.
You know, that's what you want. So, unfortunately, it, you know, chips fell against us and you're 4-on-3 in overtime and we've coughed the goal up. So, it's a lesson that needs to be learned. We've talked about it for a number of seasons now. We keep losing the, you know, the penalty battles, and we lost it again the other night. You know, they had 5 power plays, we had 4, and we've conceded on the power play at the end. We've conceded just as a power play has was it Hotham's?
Yeah, just came
Hotham's goal was just as the power play was coming to an end, and it may have been Nicker just hadn't got back into the play.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've got to learn that if you're having these Danish referees, or, you know, they're going to call the penalties.
What one of the comments we got in the 3-word weekends, Davey, is one from Dennis Wilson Cheney, who said, quote, "Walser is boring." Now, this is something that I've seen on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, whatever, and maybe some of the reaction from some of the fans bemoaning the tactics for what was a dull second and third period. Is that fair? Is that fair on Walser?
No, it's a horses for courses thing. I remember it was either last year or the year before, there was a 0-0 in Sheffield.
There was, I was at
shots
it.
Or something. And I thought it was a fantastic game because of the tactics involved, the cat and mouse. On Saturday night there, Cardiff came with a game plan to have a high four check, absolutely smothers our own zone. We were having the counter punched right almost from the first minute. Okay, we did it better in the first 15, 18 minutes of the game than we did for the rest of the game. I don't know whether it was an energy thing or what it was, but, you know, it was a game, to use your term there, of cat and mouse. And the two teams almost cancelled each other. You know, there were 8, 16, 22 shots between the two teams in 3 periods of hockey. It's not, you know, particularly dramatic for the goaltenders. But it was a really fascinating game to watch. I've been fortunate that I've been able to watch it back a couple of times now. And I find it a really, really good game to watch. But it's just one of those things that somebody else, when they're not seeing 35 shots per team, that's not what they're wanting, you know.
Yeah.
The Belfast Giants are playing a different style of hockey than we've been used to for a lot of years. We're not playing that, you know. Walsh has said it there himself in interviews today, you know. He's not going to sell the farm. He's not going to try and win a game 5-4 anymore. He'd rather win a game 2-1 and take it the overtime and try and get the extra point rather than have the Coventry 11-9 or whatever it was the other season. We're not getting that kick-ass hockey as Killer called it a few years ago, where, you know, we're dumping the puck in and going with three men on the forecheck and going absolutely mental, and the D pinching. That's not the style of hockey we're going to have to get used to it. The coach has said what way he wants to play, a more defensive game this season than the attacking that we're used to. He tried the attacking thing last season. It worked. It didn't work out. He's trying something different. You've got to give him kudos for changing his tactics when he's discovered that the way he wanted to play isn't quite working, isn't going to win this league. We're getting two good goaltenders here that are getting healthy, where our team's getting more or less fit. And, you know, he's adapting his tactics to where he needs to be. I find the game fascinating. Somebody else isn't going to find the defensive side of the game fascinating. I think it's unfair to call Walser second season coach boring, because what's Derek Walser as a person on the ice is anything but boring. He's scarily non-boring. Yeah. But, you know, it's just the tactics we're playing. You know, do you want to win the league winning games 2-1 and you know, boring each other to death? I don't know. I find the game quite exciting, actually, to watch back. But, you know, I don't know what Aaron maybe thinks
each,
about it.
For me, each to their own, I actually did find the second and third seemed to be drained due to the tactics that were being put out there. I thought, well, you may have had a chat about this. It initially looked like, to me, as if the Devils were playing quite a ruthless trap system. But then when you I want to rewatch part of that again. When you rewatch the way they were set up, it is that they were just basically with a full court press and putting a lot of pressure on the Giants, and it really restricted them creating, dumping in and chasing. It wasn't really working for them. But Aaron, you know, the Giants as a whole, is it a case of we have to be exciting or we have to win?
Well, you know, if I think back, I don't know what it is now, 5 years, and you go back to Doug Christensen and vanilla hockey.
He still claims he never said that.
I know, but, you know, I know yeah. He claims he never said it, but, you know, that was what was brand his yeah. brand of hockey was named as, whether he sort of called it that or not. Was it exciting? You know, I think we won the league. That's maybe the difference there. Yeah, we won the league with a very sort of structured style of play then. Is this going to be much different? Do you know what? If we win the league, I don't care whether you want. You can call them boring all you want, but if we walk away with a league title, who's going to remember next year how boring it was?
I think the problem with Big Doug's vanilla, at that period, we were going through a horrendous run of injuries.
Yes.
He was having to adapt. Teams kind of, and in football and all other sports, adapt the style of their coach generally. Doug Christensen, big, no-nonsense D-man, didn't like, so we've talked about this today, didn't like his D-man to be first over the blue line. You know, he liked to be very solid and structured. Derek Walser's an attacking flair D-man, so his teams play that way. Walser's having to adapt when he's learned now that he can't play like that at the minute. And, you know, I find it a real frustration that we haven't been able to get... We've built a team full of speed. We've built a team full of skill. We have size, and we don't seem to be using that.
The combination,
yeah. All the recipes are, or all the ingredients are there, but we're not getting the right recipe out of it, if you know what I mean. I'm not really sure where I'm going with this, to be honest. But,
I get you, because you look at players like Foster and Desmarais, and these guys that I think they should have the actual ability, especially in a game like it was on Saturday. I expected at least one, maybe two of our players to have a lot more ability to carry that puck into the zone, and it wasn't happening. Now, why isn't it happening? Then you have to look at the Cardiff Devils and how they were playing. And as you say, you know, you seem to have like a 2-1-2 formation where they were just clogging it all up and stopping us from carrying it through.
How soon
before we figure out how to change our tactics quick enough to actually counteract something like that? I do think we've got the players. But
the real test comes when we play them the next time. I think that's where, you know, in this league, it's difficult, I suppose, to get around and scout a lot early in the year. I know there's webcasts and all that kind of thing. But now we've been there, I will be very interested to see when we next play the Devils. Obviously, going over there, it's going to be different this year. You know, they've moved out of the blue tent into a bigger rink and so on. So that, I think, will be the big test for me as to whether, you know, whether we've learned from what we saw on the weekend.
I think the coach has said that himself as well, even on the Elite League page there today. You know, he wants to see every team. He wants to check them out. Do a scout, if you like, you know, versus them. And then when we go in, he wants to get this team into position for Christmas and the new year. We want to be within striking distance, if not up at the top of the league. We want to be able to strike in the league at that stage. No point being out of it now. You know, you have to build towards the new year. You can't win the league at this stage, but you can lose it. So it's all about gaining points, gaining momentum, learning about your opponents and taking little bits out of the game and trying to find a positive from the game the other night and you know, something to work on this week in training, something to work on for the next time we play the Cardiff Devils. They're a very, very well-organised, well-coached team. Who that coach has been in, what is it, maybe his third season now, fourth season for Lord over there. So, you know, and he's recruited. The Devils have a blueprint. That's the thing that where I think, you know, I don't like to talk about we don't have an identity. I still think we're trying to find what our identity is at the minute, whereas the Devils have that brand that they build on year, the big, like, I thought they looked huge on the ice. They were fast. They were disciplined. They had a bit of everything. They have a bit of spice. They have a bit of size. They have that blue collar North American style hockey. And I just think we're striving at the minute to find what we'll call it identity, just what our identity is at the minute.
One last point I'm going to make, I'm just going before I move on, is the fact that Jackson Whistle made his home debut in a Giants shirt. He lasted only 49 minutes, 48 seconds before he was taken off for what appeared to be a hand injury. It appears to, it's actually not as bad as it seems. We're going to hear again from Derek Wilson in a short while just to explain. Stephen Murphy came off the bench. That's not a bad backup to have, and was in for 12:49. Whistle faced 20 shots with 18 saves. Murph faced 6 shots with 5 saves, but Bounds got the win, 21 shots, 19 saves. If you want to see the highlights of this game, Belfast Giants TV on the Belfast Giants website is where you're going to see it. We are late this week, but it gave our glamorous roving reporter, Simone Cuisine, time to catch up with Michael Forney, Derek Walser, and first we're going to hear from Blair Riley.
I'm joined by Blair Riley after practice on Wednesday morning. Blair, you've been at Belfast now 6 weeks. How are you settling in?
Settling in well. You know, the first couple of weeks were a bit of a transition. Driving on the wrong side of the road, as we say. But no, it's been good. Really enjoying my teammates and the city, and settling in very nicely. Looking forward to, you know, a big weekend coming up as well. We got to get some wins going.
You played against Cardiff at the weekend with a good start, but unfortunately didn't pick up the 2 points.
Yeah, they're a good hockey club. We said going into it, you know, that was going to be kind of a measuring stick if we want to be in the championship to win it at the end. You know, they ended up finding a way to win, and that's something we're going to have to learn from. Obviously, going forward, every point is going to be crucial. So, good measuring stick. Obviously, we got some things to improve on. That's what we've been working on this week in practice, getting better, and working towards getting better as a team every day.
Brayhead come into Belfast on Saturday evening, and then we ship over to Sheffield for Sunday evening game. So two tough games in the weekend itself. But obviously, first and most importantly, is the Brayhead game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is my first year in the league, but from my understanding, it's top to bottom. There's not going to be any easy games, maybe as that could have been the case in the past. So we've seen Brayhead a lot so far early on in the season, so we're pretty familiar with them. You know, looking forward to playing them again. We got the best of them last time we played, and, you know, it's a good contest, good rivalry game for us here at home. We got to get a win in front of these home fans Saturday night.
You seem to be playing very well with Chris Higgins and Mike Forney as well, and you picked up quite a few points in September, so looking forward to October?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously the team points are really all we care about at this point, but they're two highly talented forwards, both very skilled. It seems to be a good mix. I try to separate the D-men from the puck and try to get it on their stick as much as I can and just go to the net, because they're talented goal scorers and good playmakers. So, you know, if you get the puck on their stick, good things are going to tend to happen.
Blair, thanks very much for your time. Have a good week, and good luck at the weekend.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Joined by Mike Forney after training on Thursday morning. Looking ahead to the weekend against Brayhead and Sheffield, Mike. Obviously, coming off a disappointing defeat against the Cardiff Devils.
Yeah, it really was. We were up 2-0. We really wanted that game, and I thought we played hard, but made a couple mistakes at the end and cost us.
You're settling in well with Chris Higgins, back to normal, business resumed. But Blair Riley joined you this year as well. The three of you seem to have connected very well.
Yeah, Higgs and I had good chemistry last year, and then adding Blair to the mix has really made our line, I think, that much better than last year even.
And then we've got Sheffield on Sunday. You're next Steeler. No more orange running through you at the minute. You must be looking forward to heading back to Sheffield.
Yeah, we struggled against them last year, so we definitely want to get off to a good start against them.
Top man. Thanks very much indeed, Mike. Thanks for your time.
Cheers.
Joined by head coach Derek Walzer after training Thursday. Derek, at the weekend, picked up the 1 point against the Cardiff Devils, and you must have looked as if you're having a tough week of training and heading into this weekend against Brayhead and Sheffield.
Yeah, we got to work on some things. We have to come up with a better plan on our forecheck and getting more quality time in the zone. I thought Cardiff, that's where Cardiff beat us. They beat us down low in our zone. They wore us out. We couldn't get any flow in their zone. We were one shot and done. So I'm working on our cycling and being longer attack. Sometimes you don't have something and we're trying to force something and we're not getting any offensive zone time. We're just getting one opportunity and out. And sometimes you got to wear a team down for the third period to get your looks. And we just got to do a better job at that.
We've already seen Brayhead this season in pre-season and in the Challenge Cup away. They seem to be improving. They had off a difficult start. They seem to be improving. You must be looking forward to the task.
Yeah, they got a good team on paper. You know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint to the finish line. If it was a sprint to the finish line, they were done. You know what I mean? So everyone knew they were going to bounce back eventually. All it takes is one win, maybe two wins, two good periods, and you start feeling the chemistry in the team. And they're on the right track. They're on the way out. They're working hard. I like the changes they did on their forecheck and how much pressure they put on us. And the one thing, we got to be ready. They've always come in here, played us hard. They've always been a good road team, and we're not taking them lightly. We want to get back on the winning column, and then we will worry about Sheffield on Sunday.
Heading over to Sheffield on Sunday, they were our nemesis last year. 1-7 against them. You knew you were disappointed with that. You obviously got a plan to put in place for this year.
Well, we made changes. We made a pretty huge roster change. One is to compete with Sheffield and Cardiff, and I think we're there. We're not quite there yet, but we're going to go there. And we had leads going in those games, and I think in the long part is having two goalies that are going in there fresh every night. It's going to help us. And like I said, we made a lot of good changes. It's going to be interesting to see them, but I definitely don't want to finish 1-7 against them this year. I think it's going to be a tight league. I think you're going to see a lot of splits. So I think you're going to probably have 6-7 teams right down in the end, and it's who beats who. So all we're looking to do is beat the series. If we can beat everyone in the series, then we'll be okay. We'll be right there at the end.
Jackson Whistle come off against Cardiff Devils with an injury. Is there an update on him and anybody else that's picked up any niggles?
Well, as of right now, I think Whistle has been skating all week. We think maybe it was dehydration. We're not exactly 100% sure, but he's been checked out by the doctor, so he's all clear. And right now we're still waiting on a couple guys with bumps and bruises, but every team has bumps and bruises. And we're going to have a full roster for the weekend, so I'm not too concerned about our injuries. And if Wiss can go, he'll play. If he can't play, I got Murph. I have all the confidence in the world of Murph.
Coach, thanks very much. Good luck for the weekend.
Thank you.
Last week, we introduced the new Player of the Month Award, sponsored by Phonacab. And we asked you, the View from the Bridge listener, to pick your winner from a short list of four players. And we had an absolutely fantastic response to the poll, and we thank everybody who supported on the Twitter site. And who was the winner? Well, with 61% of the vote, I'll hand it over to Aaron.
Okay, well, his mum calls him David, his teammates call him Rudy, his sponsor calls him DGR91, but to us, he's the inaugural winner of the View from the Bridge Player of the Month. Welcome to the show, David Rutherford.
Yeah, Vinyl, thank you for having me. It's nice to be on.
So, I mean, as we say, one of the reasons we're talking to you for the first time, we've tried a Player of the Month award, and you've been the guy that the fans have voted for. I mean, how important is it to you to receive an award that's voted for by the fans?
Yeah, well, I think more or less, you know, we had a good start to the season and whatnot. I just try to work hard each night. You know, there's not much more I can control than probably my work ethic. So to see that the fans see it's paying off and whatnot, and have so much support, such as much as I got for this, it's definitely an honor. But at the end of the day, it's kind of a team award that I can't do anything without my line mates or my teammates. So it's nice recognition, but you know, as we always say, we're on to a new month, and we've got other things to worry about.
Yeah, so I mean, just looking obviously at the bare stats, we're 8 games into the season. You've 6 goals there, a couple of assists. So, I mean, obviously you must be pretty pleased with how you've started. But I think that's maybe a bit. I mean, we spoke earlier. I think during the preseason after one of the games, and you put in a lot of work over the summer on your fitness and your skating and so on. So I think it must be pleasing for you to maybe see that paying off.
Yeah, no, it's always nice to get a good start that you wanted, but it's just part of the process, really. So I knew I put in the work this summer, and mentally I felt really refreshed and I felt focused. So it's nice to see it pay off right away. But like I said, I want to try to keep getting better each day. And I know that's like a model our team's been doing, you know, believe in the process here. And hopefully I can keep it up. But, you know, it's been a great start so far. And like I said, it's been fun.
You mentioned it there, you know, your line mates and so on. How are you finding? I think you're playing mostly with James Demaray and Brandon Benedict. You know, it's an island with a lot of energy. How are you finding, you know, playing with those two guys this year?
Yeah, no, it's been phenomenal. You look at Desi, he's one of the most skilled players in the league. He makes great things happen. He's done it for a lot of years. And then a guy like Brandon, he's probably the most underrated player in the league. He's a workhorse. He's a workhorse, and he does everything. He does all the little things that, like, he doesn't get as much credit as most people believe, but he's generally one of those guys that, like, flies under the radar but does everything really, really well. So, honestly, I like to call us a tripod, and, you know, we need all three of us to do well if we're going to be productive as a line. But it's been beautiful, I'd honestly say, to play with them, because they're easy players to play with. And they make a lot of things happen. I've just been lucky enough to put the puck in there.
And then moving on from that, as you say, you know, obviously you're just one sort of one line out of four forward lines and the three defensive pairings. But as a team overall, I mean, I think the guys, you know, speaking to guys at the weekend after, I know it was a tough overtime loss, but I think it's been a solid, if not spectacular, start to the year. And I think there's maybe plenty more to come from the team. But are you happy with where the team is so far?
Yeah, you know, evidently we'd like to have had that one back Sunday, but like a few little things kind of went wrong and whatnot. Like, you don't like to give up leads like that, but all in all, I think we have to be happy with it. We've had a good start. I know we're already, I believe we're through to the Challenge Cup now, so it's the next round that is. It's been good, but like at the same time, you know, it's a marathon. You want to keep getting better week in, week out, and as long as we do that and look at that in practice, I think that's the key. We're trying not to get too complacent and, you know, kind of ignore the noise. There's been a lot of people say how well we started and whatnot, but like we just want to keep getting better week to week. And if we do that, you know, we have the possibility here to do something really special. We have a really good team. And hopefully that's somewhere at the end of the year we look back and be like, you know, it can start really paying dividends for us.
Well, you mentioned the Challenge Cup there. How do you feel, you know, having had the way the fixtures have worked this year with having those Challenge Cup games, do you think that's going to help get the team settled before going into the league campaign, which, as we all know, is really the key focus for teams in British hockey?
Yeah, no, I think it definitely does, because it's like not so much an exhibition game, but it's, you know, you want to be at your top when you get to the league game. So it's kind of nice to have a few of those to start off the season and whatnot. But I think the majority of those are almost done now. So it's nice to get on the roll and get in a rhythm. But now we got a huge weekend coming up. I think it's a Challenge Cup game Saturday at home versus Brayhead. I'm not even 100% sure. But then we got a huge road game, a good road test in Sheffield on Sunday. So the guys are getting excited to play the regular season, especially get going against some of these big clubs.
Yeah, I guess there's a sense of anticipation. You know, we had it coming up to the game against Cardiff at the weekend and Sheffield. You know, it just seems that those games, those conference games, just have that little bit more about them for the fans. Is it the same for the players?
Yeah, you know what? Like I never want to like look down on any other teams or whatever, but like there's something to be said when you get the chance to beat Sheffield or like a Cardiff or like a Nottingham, the big clubs. I think we have this more of a rivalry with them because we play them so much more and they're in our conference. So it is something you look forward to. But at the same time, we know it can be a key factor for losing a championship or winning one. We went 1-7 versus Sheffield last year, and that evidently is how we pretty much lost the league championship. So we have to be ready to go right from the get-go when we get those games. And that's something Wally's been really preaching is every single night being ready to go. And it's sometimes easier said than done, but it's something we're really trying to strive to do this well. And I think as long as we keep preparing the way we have, I think we'll be okay.
The preseason in Brayhead, and you find yourself behind the goal. You see an opening, and you produce the Michigan goal. Can you just talk me through? I guess there's maybe a couple of aspects of that. Had you practiced it, and when did you see that the opportunity was there to put that in the net?
I'll be honest with you. I think the first time I ever did it was when I was probably about like 14 in Bantam A hockey back in minor hockey. So I'd done it numerous times. I've done it a couple times in pro in North America. But it just, it hadn't really crossed my mind. Like, I don't really even have a clue why I did it. I wasn't thinking about it at all. It just honestly seemed like the easiest way to put the puck in the net at the time. So it's something that just, it sounds weird, but it does come natural to me. I do it in practice all the time and whatnot, and it just kind of, it just worked out, honestly. So it's something I'd done a lot when I was a kid, screwing around in my family's ice arena, but it generally wasn't something I went into a game planning to. It just kind of happened, and, you know, I guess it turned out pretty well. I got a little bit of publicity for it, but it was... Probably honestly, it was the simplest way to put the puck in that area.
And then, of course, a few weeks later, we saw Joey Sides return the favor to us in Belfast.
Yeah, it's funny. I was sitting on the bench for that, and I was just like, I was mad, but I was like, that was pretty nice. I had to give him credit for it, but like, it was one of those things we weren't really paying attention. Or I think it was a power play goal of his as well.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
So, it was a nice skilled play, and honestly, it takes a lot of confidence to try it, let alone do it. So, props to him for it. I just told him he was 2 weeks too late.
I have to say as well, some of the reaction, you know, reading around about it, you know, someone saying, you know, if someone, whenever you scored the one against Brayhead, you know, saw some reaction, people said, oh, if someone had done that against us, I would like to see, you know, our guys give him a bit of a slap. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. In junior, I did it, and I got jumped right away. So if you look at the video of me doing it, I'm kind of not sure if it went in the first time I did it, and then I wasn't sure if I was going to get jumped by someone. So normally when you do things like that, you got to be ready for people to come. But like, I think we were all in disarray that it went in.
Well, I say, we're looking forward now, as I say, this week to Brayhead and Sheffield Challenge Cup and League. And you say it's a new month, and I hope that come the end of the month, you find yourself back in the reckoning again for the Player of the Month award.
Yeah, you know what? Like I said, if I can keep just getting better each day, each week, I think, who knows, it's endless possibilities. But as far as right now, I think like as much as this is great, it could have been done without my line mates or teammates, honestly. They made everything easy this year, and coming back over was nothing more than exactly what I want. I wanted to be a Giant, and you probably won't find a guy who's happier to play on this club.
Divi's going to be presented with the Player of the Month award this weekend's game against the Brayhead Clan. Yeah, it was supposed to happen last week, but let's just say technical difficulties prevented it. Once again, thanks to Funicab for sponsoring the award. Quick comment from you both, gents. Divi, a worthy winner?
Yeah, you know, the superlatives that Davey Rutherford has taken over the first month of the season, quite rightly so. You know, talked about he came in mid-season shape. You know, he came in ready to play. Obviously spent the summer working out, getting his nutrition right, getting his fitness program right, and he was ready to go right from the first puck drop in the first exhibition game. He's been really, really good. Don't want to over-sensationalize how good he's been, but he's been very, very good. I think his team, his line mates have helped. I think for me, if it wasn't going to David Rutherford, it would be going to Brandon Benedict. And that's not to take anything away from the likes of Blair Riley and Michael Forney and Higgy have scored goals, created goals. I think Benny has created the space to allow Rutherford to get to the net. And Rudy has done it really well. Magnificent, well-deserved. Congratulations on being the first AVFTB Player of the Month award winner.
I love that, Davey. I don't want to over-sensationalise the players' achievements. This is from Davey McGimsey, who christened the Belfast Datsuk after about a week and a half. There was a good interview with Davey Rutherford there. He's obviously a very driven individual.
He is. I mean, I know we've mentioned it before, but the work he put in over the summer, once he'd agreed, you know, he came in here last year with a bit of a point to prove, having left Edinburgh under, I wouldn't say a cloud, but, you know, for certain reasons, he came in and, you know, he really was, he put a really good effort in towards the end of last season, earned himself that new contract, and he went away. You know, we mentioned it, he talked about how much weight he managed to shift and the work he put in, and you know, you can see the benefits of that when you see him on the ice, because he looks a step quicker even than he did last year, and he certainly wasn't slow at the end of last year. He looks a step quicker, and he's not afraid to, you know, he's a bit of a pest, and he's not afraid to get stuck in either. So, yeah, it's good to see, and long may it continue.
Yep, big congratulations to Davey for being the inaugural A View from the Bridge Player of the Month. Right, let's look around the league. Let's start off, as we usually do, with the Department of Player Safety. At the Dundee Stars, Michael Lillehammer was assessed a 2+10 checking to the head against the Coventry Blaze on Sunday night. That's obviously an automatic review, but there's been no further action. One other comment, a big shout over to our good friends over in the Purple Army podcast. Davey, they didn't agree with our assessment of the Beck incident?
No, I think they felt there was a bit of, what would you call it, simulation. Yes. From the Manchester player, but we did get called out and saying the only thing that we got right is we're not Dops. Well, actually, Dops were a lot closer to our position than the Purple Army podcast because Dops actually upheld the 2+10 for checking ahead. You have to read the rules, guys. There is no such thing as a clean check to the head. Principal point of contact is shoulder to chin. He's hit him on the head. I still feel that he's quite fortunate not to have taken a suspension for that. I will stand over that. The Manchester player trying to sell it, I think, saves him from suspension, but it is a hit to the head. Dops agree with AVFTB and not the Purple Army podcast. Sorry, guys.
The Edinburgh Capitals have been the ongoing big story in the Elite League. Despite losing 4-1 to the Stars in the DIA on Saturday, they went over the Firth of Forth to the nearest and dearest in Kirkcaldy. And they came back from 4-1 down at the start of the third period with 5 unanswered goals to win 6-4. And they strongly look like they're going to qualify for the next round of the Cup, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been critical of the Caps over the last lot of years. You know, it's frustrating to see them, you know, falling apart as they have done on occasions. But, you know, fair play. They've brought in some phenomenal players, especially, you know, bringing in someone the caliber of one of the Stahl brothers. Haven't seen them in Belfast, you know, they looked a good side, and I just hope that they can hang on to everyone and the same kind of thing that, you know, they got off to a bit of a flyer last year as well, if I remember, including, you know, beating the Giants over in Edinburgh at one point. So I just hope that they can hang on and keep going, but we still managed to win all our games against them.
Davey?
Aaron's right, you know, that they've recruited over the last, say, 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe not quite as much as that, when Coach was on with us here, and he used to absolutely hammer the life out of Edinburgh because they didn't recruit a roster in the summer. They maybe waited to this sort of time of year, maybe even another month. You know, it was coming towards Christmas before they had a strong roster, and they had then that little kick on after the new year, but they were already too far out of it to, you know, to even make a playoff charge. Now they're recruiting early. You still hear absolute horror stories out of Edinburgh about, you know, some of the conditions the players are putting up with, but they are recruiting, and they've recruited a good team. And this is the, I think Aaron mentioned it on a podcast towards the end of last season, one of the nuances of the, you know, the fixture list is you want to get Edinburgh now, you know, January, February, March time. You don't want to get them September, October, November, because this is when they're hot. And it's just, you know, was it a case of they ran out of money? What do you call the guy that went off to Sheffield last year? Ryan Hayes. Ryan Hayes obviously went off to Sheffield when they couldn't afford to keep him anymore. David Rutherford, touch wood, good for us, came to Belfast when they couldn't afford.
But you Zanette, know, players, Paul Zanette.
Paul Zanette went. He went away to Italy, didn't he?
Italy, yeah.
So, you know, they're losing their top end players, and, you know, good for Edinburgh, good for their fans, because they're put upon fans there. They know you're putting their hands in their pocket every week, 600 or 700 of them going along and not having the greatest product served up to them. But at the minute, they are. They're competitive in games. They're winning games against big rivals too. Getting results against the Dundees and, you know, the Fifes and the Brayheads, teams in Scotland, that'll mean a lot to them, because that kind of being top dog in Scotland is now what they're going to try and aim to do. You know, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. Still think that's a bit of a while away. There needs more investment there. But, you know, good that they're at least they've set out best foot forward in the season.
Well, one of the things, I'm going to use Twitter as a source and off the top of my head, which isn't always good and not always accurate, but I believe in their last home game, with regards to the gate, they had over 1,000 people through the door. Now, that may not, some people may scoff at that, at the fact that, you know, some of us are, that should be a standard or whatever in the league. But for the Edinburgh Capitals, that's a good gauge of the fact that if you've got a successful team or a team that are entertaining, then the people will come and watch it. So, more power to them. I'm sure we'll be talking about them when we come to face them in a, I think it's a couple of weeks' time or a month or so in November, we come to face them in the Challenge Cup. Moving on. Coventry, they've snapped their losing streak. They defeated a Stars team in the Sky Dome, who were on their third game in as many days. That's a welcome respite for Danny Stewart's side, who've recently been struggling. But it's only been 1 point this weekend for the Manchester Storm. Nonetheless, they were part of two barnstorming games. A ding-dong battle at the NIC against the Panthers, seeing them lose 8-5. But they run into some major penalty trouble with referee Steve Brown. Then they returned to the Drizzle Dome to face the Steelers. And like the Caps, they also came back from 4-1 down, this time forcing overtime. It went to a shootout and the Steelers took the win, despite Mario Trabuco's penalty shot being adjudged not to have crossed the line by that guy again, Jan Schmeichel. He contradicted the opinions of his linesman. It was also a game that had 100 penalty minutes and had Debian kicked in overtime, 2+10 for abuse of official. I'm going to point you as well in the direction of the Forecast, the Manchester Storms podcast. They have a bit of a chat about goal line technology with the guys who are putting it in. Davey, goal line technology might have saved the Storm in this case.
Yes, and I believe it is only 7 days away from being used. Am I right in that? In the Drizzle Dome. So if it had been this weekend, it might have been a different result. You know, the sooner we can get the goal line technology in place, if these big decisions are being right or being wrong, we have to make sure that we have the ability to make them right. Help the referees. You know, if the referee doesn't want to take his advice from the linesman, let him go over to a monitor and say, yes, that's in or not. The infrastructure is almost in place across the league. There's a few teeth and problems. Obviously, it's came out about the wireless solution they're looking at in some of the arenas that don't own, you know, the facilities, and they have to go through all the hoops that you've got to go through to put infrastructure into these places. So hopefully it's coming soon. It's obviously operational in a few places already, and the sooner we can get it operational across the league, it just levels the playing field a bit more. You know, those 2 points could have been crucial to Manchester at the end of the season. Who knows? But let's hope over the next few days, switch it on and we're ready to go.
It also maybe, Aaron, it's an indication for the, I know it's only 1 point for the Storm, but the two games they were involved with, you know, two ding-dong battles, as I said, against the Panthers and the Steelers, are also an indication of how far the Storm have come. They're really challenging in these games.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be careful here because I don't want to give Neil Russell too much credit.
No.
But no, you know, no. He's
if you do, I'll edit it out.
No, I mean, him and Pash have obviously put together, you know, a great roster there, maybe not on the back end going by the game against Nottingham where was it 8 goals they conceded in that one?
He will say
they scored 5, so
Davey will back me up here. He wasn't best pleased. I know there's a bit of a conversation went on. He wasn't best pleased with that. By the sounds of it, he enjoyed the game, Davey, but he wasn't best pleased with how some of the refereeing went.
I'm sure we can't throw a GM of another league team on the bus.
I'm going by the comments of his own boss, which were on Twitter.
We've seen Mark Johnson, isn't you call him? I'd put on that he wasn't happy with the refereeing. You know, refereeing is still an issue in the league. Consistency, we talked about Jan Schmeichel there, how consistent he was the other night, but then you'll go into another night where obviously, coach, I haven't seen the Manchester game yet to comment on it really, Paddy. But, you know, if coach is getting annoyed about a referee, which he seldom does.
True.
Or does he do it? Does he do it more now that he's a GM?
Well,
I don't know.
Something to keep an eye on.
Well, it is something to keep an eye on. You know, when is a team loses a referee? We'll just have to keep an eye on that. But, you know, the Manchester Storm have obviously came out to a good start this season. Coach has got a lot of players in there who are buying in the ethos that him and Pash are trying to set up there. And, you know, they're going to be difficult to beat at home, which they've proved. You know, they're trying to make Manchester or altering them to be, you know, geographically correct, a fortress. And moving forward, I'm looking forward to playing them for the first time just to see how we line up against them.
The other thing just about it as well, it was good to see that his big signing of the summer sort of tried to put down a marker for himself against Brian McGrattan as well with Nielsen. having a wee bit of a tilt there, which was is worth checking out to watch if you can find the video.
Well, I know that if we can, Paddy, sorry to jump about your agenda. There's obviously a TFA question.
Let's leave that.
Do you want to leave it?
Let's leave that to the TFA. So let's wrap up. Let's just quickly wrap up the review, because we're just about to come on the TFA. So let's wrap up the around the league. Just to say that the Panthers took two wins at the weekend. We always spoke about the win over the Storm. And they also went on to beat the Devils in Ice Arena Wales 3-1. But this week, they've seen the return of Peter Kalas into the lineup, 40 points from 44 games. The last time he was here in 2013-14 with 19 goals. And they've been looking for a goal scorer. They brought in McGrattan and people said maybe it wasn't the player that they needed. Is Kalas the goal scorer that they need?
He's certainly a step in the right direction. You know, the Panthers, I'm not entirely sure they're quite convinced what their identity, you know, we talked about our own identity and stuff. But I think they're maybe not quite convinced where they want to be right now. I don't think they're the team, you know, of a few years ago where you'd have almost feared a Panthers team. But Kalas is certainly, I think, a step in the right direction for them in adding a bit more firepower to them. I think that was one area. They're tough, but one area that they maybe just seem to be lacking a little bit in top-end skills. So it could be a shrewd signing for them, especially as he knows his way around the league as well.
And I'm going to hand it now over to our resident Nottingham Panthers expert, Mr. David McGimsey. Your thought on Peter Kalas?
A good signing, you know, proof of the pudding will be in the eating. You know, they're not that understacked up front. You know, Chris Lawrence has scored a lot of points.
Player of the week.
Very good. They've obviously brought in Big Earn to give them size and a bit of something for the crowd. If I'm honest, I think he definitely is there in an entertainment kind of replacement for Cam Janssen. Stoke the crowd, you know, sell tickets, put bums on seats. All that. Good goaltend. And I still, you know, They're very, very strong defensively, the Panthers. That's one of the missing links, was getting somebody that's going to put the puck in the net at the other end and take the weight off the likes of Lawrence. So, you know, going forward, we will have to see what the Panthers bring over the next couple of weeks. They're still gearing up. They've had a lot of, you know, they've managed to get off to a good start in the league. What if Jans played two games? They have 7 or 8 maybe under their belt in the league now. So, which is also a frustration in the minor Challenge Cup, not to go into too much of a hitchy rant on this, but it's going to take so long before everyone's played the same amount of games in the league. So you can really see, you know, it could be Christmas or after before everybody's played the same amount of games and we'll see where we're at. Because the Panthers are going to go away in the Continental Cup action soon, aren't they? And, you know, that'll be them out for a weekend or two.
Yeah, other teams will catch up. But that's the thing year on year. It's a pain in the backside because you can never get a decent judge because you're always like, oh, the line we use more than anything else is they've got the games in hand.
Yeah, and last season, wasn't it only maybe 2 weeks before the end of the season when everyone had played the same amount of games?
Yeah.
You know, it took to the middle of March before you could really see, well, the games in hand don't count anymore. They're played and there's 3 weeks to go and it's a crapshoot.
Right. That's
Nottingham 6, Brayhead 5 and Cardiff 4. Then Sheffield and Edinburgh have one league game played.
Yeah. Well,
you know, after on the first weekend in October, the season's at 4 weeks old, and there's that disparity already. There's 5 weeks of games to be caught up there with some teams. It's crazy.
Yeah, right. Well, that wraps that up. Time for the fan agenda in association with Belfast Giants TV. What should we be talking about, Davey? You've got to look through the questions.
Well, at Hockey Bureau, our good friend Alex Kunovich from Manchester has asked about the McGrattan-Nielsen fight. And fair foul, McGrattan keeping his helmet on versus Nielsen who dropped the bucket. Fair foul or indeed not arsed?
Go for it, Aaron. You go first.
Yeah, I'm not arsed, to be perfectly honest. Do you know McGrattan's a guy who is coming off some pretty bad concussions? Should he be fighting at all? I'm not even sure. So, you know, from a pragmatic point of view, I think I'd rather see him keep his helmet on because I don't want to see him take another concussion and then possibly end his career in a similar way that we saw. Well, I know it didn't end Tyson Marsh's career, but it certainly, well, it maybe didn't end it there and then, but it certainly sped up, I think, the end of it last year. So, yeah, I'm not really arsed, but I can see why he did it.
I seem to be doing this a lot in this show. I will also point you towards this week's Ask TCW and the Cat's Whiskers, where our good friend of the show, our lady we now call by the name of Dr. Victoria Silverwood, joined the guys there, and we've had her on the show many times talking about the same sort of thing. And she brings up, as she might, the unwritten code of the fighter and taking off the bucket and this, that, and the other. But I will say that McGrattan has been through various leagues where, especially in the AHL last year, where he was sparked out. But in that league, you don't take the bucket off when you fight. It's in the rules. You take it off, you gain an extra penalty. In this game, Erik Nielsen took the bucket off and got a 2-minute unsportsmanlike penalty. So if he hadn't taken the bucket off, the Storm would have been on the power play after the fight because McGrattan, I believe, got an extra 2 for cross-check, possibly, which actually spurred on the fight. I'd have to check the stats. I know there was an extra 2 for McGrattan. So take it on or put off. I think I'm not that bothered. I think it's up to the fighters. I might have a wee chat with, see if we can get Adam Kiefer or Matt Nickerson to comment on it. I think it's a case of, you know, if there's an agreement between the two, then they fight. If there's not, then what, is he going to refuse to fight? Is it about hand injuries? Which is more precious, the hand or the head, Davey?
I think you had, when they brought the non-removal of the helmets rule in the NHL the other season, you had the ludicrous situation where players were tying up with each other, taking each other's helmet off, dropping the ice, yep, and then splitting up, squaring off. You know, visors are a dangerous thing in a fight. You know, cut hands can put players out for weeks, but, you know, a really bad hit to the head can end your career. This is the discussion we were having the other week, which I think we need to actually take head on here, to use a pun. We need to get the likes of Kiefer and McGrattan and Nielsen. We'll talk to all these people and Dr. Silverwood. Is this going out of the game? Because is it acceptable? Because these guys, although it's a game and it's a game we all love, it's their livelihood, it's their job. Is it acceptable? You take on the risks when you go to work in this sport that you might get cut by a blade because it's a very dangerous, or you take impact injuries and, you know, you're taking the body into the boards and stuff. Is it acceptable now to take punches in the head in the game? It's been done. You know, it doesn't happen in Europe. You drop the gloves in Europe, you're out of the game. You know, you're automatically thrown out. Over here, it's still the 5-minute penalty. You know, is it acceptable? We were talking about Becca earlier on, gets a 2-plus game for hitting to the head. So if it's not right and everyone is up in arms when there's a hit to the head and it goes to DOPS and it's reviewed and players are either censured or, you know, or suspended for hitting the head, why is it okay to punch people in the head? And this is from a fight fan. This is from me. Am I changing my view in the game? I don't know. I would need to talk to the players involved because it's their decision whether to do it. Derek Walser has already said this season, we are stacked with toughness and he will never ask a player to go out and fight with another player. Such are the dangers. Yeah. Such is the decision that a person has to make, as that I've got a kid in the house. I want to go home and play with my kids tonight. I don't want the black eye. I don't want lost teeth. I don't want the concussion. I don't want to be out of my job potentially forever. Does this come down to fighting with helmets on? You know, I just don't know. I think we need to talk to the stakeholders in this rather than me, you know, we throw our opinions about all the time. But I just think this is now getting to such a point in time where people are understanding the dangers of concussions a lot more than even 5 years ago, even more than 3 years ago. Look at the amount of enforcers that have unfortunately taken their own lives or died over the last number of years. Probert, Belak, who else? You know, the Boogeyman, all these people that have sadly passed away, and this was their job, taking punches to the head. And it obviously hasn't done them any good. You know, and yes, it's spectacular for the fans, and yes, it's part of the game that I absolutely adore. I'm an old-school fight fan. You're watching a Paxton Schulte video I got sent there the other day, every fight in Paxton's career, more or less, one at Mel Engelstad. You know, all these shirts I collect from enforcers, I love them in the game. But am I coming to, you know, slowly coming around to the train of thought that, you know, that's dinosaurs in the game now. That's not where the game's at anymore. The head is a precious, and this is where I've came about the, sorry to like jump so sideways.
You're the one running this segment of the show, mate. You go
about
first.
About the full face guards. You know, I was one of the ones that we protect our nuts. They put shin pads on, they put padded shorts on, they've got chest protectors,
but we don't protect our eyes.
They've got throat protectors. visor to a certain extent will protect your eyes, but you don't protect your nose, you don't protect your teeth, you don't protect your, you know, your breathing, your throat. All these things are open to expose the butt ends of sticks, mm-hmm. the high sticks, to the people's shoulders. Just Becca the other week catches the Manchester guy in the chin again. We'll talk, go back to that. You know,
yeah.
protection, we mitigate as much as we can. Those helmets now have the foam inside is so developed to prevent whenever there's a head against the board or a head in the ice, all that foam in there is so specialist equipment. Now, it's not just an old hard piece of plastic or hard piece of foam in there. You know, this is development that goes on and on. And is it acceptable to go home from work injured? You mitigate the very best you can to stop that from happening with your protective equipment. So why would you throw your helmet down and let someone the size of Brian McGrattan punch in the head or someone the size of Eric? It's a discussion that has to be had. I see it phasing out of the game all the time, more and more. Players are smaller than they used to be. They're faster than they used to be. But when I say they're smaller, I mean, the game is full of players now that at 5'10", 5'11", wouldn't have survived years ago. But they are absolutely, hence, athletes. Now, you go sports nutrition, sports science. Even Manchester have the, you know, the sports coach there. He was talking to you on Twitter earlier.
Sam
on.
Bell.
Sam Bell. What's his title?
Oh, is it fitness and I can't remember. It's conditioning.
Strength and conditioning. You know, all the teams now have strength and conditioning coaches. And, you know, it's so important what to do off the ice. What to do is as important as what to do on the ice. Eating well during the week. But I'm segueing here. It's a discussion to be had. The helmet coming off or staying on is really, for me, one between the two guys that are doing it.
Okay. That's all we've got time for this week. We'll be back next week with any more, Davies. Give us one more. Yeah,
there's a few. We kind of touched on it earlier on. David Purvis, when can we expect improvement in our special teams?
That is something that has to be done. Sorry, go on, what was that?
If you want me to throw the stats at you, whether you've seen them or not, we are very good on the power play. When I say very good, at home we're 4th out of 10. Away we're top of power play, but penalty kill is a major concern. Away we're 7th. At home we're 7th, and away we are 9th.
Yeah. So, I think that the penalty kill is something I was going to basically mention. This is the fact that I didn't think we're that bad in the power play, but the penalty kill doesn't seem to be clicking. And especially when I watched it on Saturday, we it seemed incredibly static. Nobody was challenging. Nobody was putting any pressure on the puck carrier. It just didn't seem to move. And the Devils, with all credit to them, were able to pass the puck about pretty quickly and create their opportunities. And then, also, you look at the 3-on-3. I take the 3-on-3 in there as well. That's a bit of a different sort of a special teams there to it, but also that's the second home game in a row where we've lost in that situation. And maybe we need to focus more on those shorthanded sort of situations, Aaron.
Yeah, well, as far as the power play is concerned, all they need to do is get a video out of the first goal against Cardiff at the weekend, watch it, and then try and recreate that movement and passing, because it was like something I hadn't seen us do in a long, long time. Penalty kill wise, well, I mean, I think Davey actually touched on it a wee bit earlier that and you've touched on it there. I think we're just too passive. And I think back to the Cardiff game, the winning goal, we just let Asselin, wasn't it?
Patrick Asselin, yeah.
Just walk out from the corner, you know. There was no, you know, nobody threw a head at him. Nobody got in his face. Nobody, I know 4-on-3 power plays are slightly different. You maybe don't want to overcommit, but he had all the time to walk out and then just pick his spot from, you know, a couple of feet out of the, in front of the crease. So I think, I think it would be nice to see just maybe a little bit more aggression on it as well there, but, you know, we're 7, 8, 9 games into the season. It's a concern, but there's plenty of time to put it right.
Well, that's it. Thanks to everybody for your questions. Keep them coming through the week. At AVFTB is our Twitter site, of course. Hashtag TFA. We really enjoy chatting about the questions that you want. Part. This is your podcast. This is a podcast for the fans. We want to hear your questions and your comments. So hashtag TFA on our Twitter site. At AVFTB. Only one game last week, but we're back to two games. One home, one away. On Saturday night, the Belfast Giants welcome the Brayhead clan to the SSE Arena for Challenge Cup action. The Clan are on the fight back after a bit of a poor start. This week they've brought in a new signing in Mike Hammond, a 20-year-old centre who's just coming more or less after one season in the ECHL after a bit of time in the CIS. Rosehill's back on playing defensively for them. There seems to be a bit of unrest with regards to the role of Trevor Hendricks. Davey, this Clan side, you know, is it a case that they're starting to find their feet, or do you think the Giants should be too strong for them?
You seen the other week, it went the whole way to penalty shots in Jackson Whistle's first start for the club. Mm-hmm. And they're a team that has talented players up front. It's just whether they can get, we talk often enough, how can we get a 60-minute game out? You know, I think we got maybe a 25-minute game out against the Devils, disappointingly, there at the weekend. You know, they are a team, you know, Scott Pitt, Becca Levitt, Kayak, they're all good players, and then you're going down and the players like Matt Keith, Craig Peacock, we know very well, Ulmer Arson, very, very, they're a deep hockey team. Iron actually at the start of the season there, you know, said about them, he didn't think they would do that well, and was sort of lambasting him a bit, aren't dead on, but they haven't started well. He's either a genius or they just are going to take a bit of time to come in. Obviously, as you say, they've signed a new guy today, he's going to be in at the weekend. Who sits out for him, I don't know. What Hendricks' role is, I don't know. You know, he's 25 penalty minutes there through 10 games, hasn't troubled the scorers. You know, Zukowski needs to be better for them. But I think Rosehill going back on the D will solidify them a bit. I think we identified earlier in the season that maybe on D they were short and they had plenty of talent up front. So Rosehill maybe going back there, solidify them, they'll be able to run three lines a D all night long. And it's going to be another tight game, Paddy, let's be honest. You know, we haven't got out and blasted anybody away over the last lot of weeks. So I expect more of the same, quite defensive from ourselves, making sure that we don't concede and then hit on the break counter punch as we are, rather than taking the game to them.
Aaron, your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting, as you say, looking at in the league play especially, they've only managed to pick up one league win so far out of five, and you know, this maybe reflects a wee bit back on what we were talking about earlier, but the way they, you know, they've played five league games, they've put themselves behind the, you know, a bit behind the eight ball there, by the way their fixtures have lined up. Whereas, you know, ourselves, it's another Challenge Cup game where I think we're either definitely qualified or virtually qualified.
We're more or less qualified.
Yeah. So it gives us another chance. Now, obviously, we want to go out on Saturday, you know, against the Clan, and we want to win. But it's a little bit less pressure on Saturday, if that makes sense. You know, it's a chance for us to work on the things that we've talked about, the power play, the penalty kill, you know, things like that. And to see how we do against a Clan side who ran us close. Obviously, we beat them in penalty shots, I think it was, as Davey said. And it's a chance to go out and see how we've improved against a side that's perhaps been improving since then as well. I think the big thing for me this weekend, I think it'll be very interesting, you know, assuming that Jackson Whistle's fully fit, I'd be very, very interested which way around our goalies go this weekend. You know, I think chatting to Murph last week and the coach, it looks like we're pretty much going to run, you know, both goalies when they're fit. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, who gets the start in the Challenge Cup game and who gets the start in the league game.
That game is at 7 p.m. on Saturday night at the SSE Arena. If you can't get down to it, of course, Mr. Kitchen and Sheffield Steelers legend Shane Johnson will be covering the game for Belfast Giants TV.
You'll
hear in a second why I say that, just seeing if I could gain a reaction, because the Belfast Giants then travel on Sunday to take on the Sheffield Steelers at the Motorpoint Arena. The first time these teams have met this season, and also the first time this season, we welcome Mr. Mark Hitchcock. How are you, mate?
Hey! Hi, everyone. The season has started.
Timmy Mullet? Who's that? Who's that? Hey!
Hitchy. You're just excited because it's a league game.
buzzing.
I was going to say it's been a bit of a mixed bag for the Sheffield Steelers at the start of the season, but it was sort of like that last season.
Yeah, it was. When we started our season about 3 months ago because of the highly prestigious Champions Hockey League. But yeah, it's been a bit of a crazy start. I mean, we are joint top of the group. We have played more games in the Challenge Cup group, granted only one game in the league, but yeah, we're winning games, but we're also shipping a lot of goals. I think the stat I heard earlier was 21 goals conceded in the last five, and it's not the kind of record you want to see if you're chasing another league championship. Then again, we won one last year with Pints, so anything's possible.
you brought back in Irvin Mustakov's in goal, and well, he's a championship winning goalie. He did last time have the likes of Munn and Bollybrook in front of him, but a lot of people, and I'm taking my judgment again from Twitter, but a lot of people don't seem to be that impressed of him thus far. Is it his fault, or is it down to maybe a lackluster defence?
From what I've seen so far, it's a bit of a mix of the two. He's not been absorbing the puck very well. There's been quite a lot of rebounds in the slot. But then again, it's the D's job to clear the crease, and we haven't really seen that. And you've just mentioned two names just there from the last time he was in Sheffield. I mean, not forgetting, he still holds the record for the most shutouts in a regular season in the Elite League mm-hmm. from 5 years ago when we were all a bit slimmer.
See if I can jump in just on that very point. I was talking to someone within the Sheffield, whatever you would call it.
Fraternity?
Family, okay. Fraternity. And he's saying, you know, about Mustakov's, he's still that 9-20 goaltender. But at the minute, so that means if you get 30 shots on him, he's going to let three in. He doesn't seem to have that ability to get the 10 shutouts or whatever it was, or just elevate his game to be that 960, 970 goaltender that you need on occasions. Because if for the sake of argument, Belfast, if we get 30 shots, yous are going to need 4 goals to win the game. You know, that's the kind of sort of discussion we're having about him.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one of the quotes that I came out with recently, and I've used it before for the Steelers, actually, it's a bit like Kevin Keegan hockey of the Newcastle United of old. You know, you score 5, we'll score 6. But the worrying thing when you've got a netminder who isn't really absorbing, as I say, the puck as much as you'd want him to. You've got incidents like we had last week in Manchester where the game was dead and buried, yet somehow Noel Wrestle's Manchester Storm got back into the game and we ended up scraping through with a perfectly acceptable goal line clearance in that decisive penalty shot. So I'd like to see some more stability in goal, but ever since, I think it's since Frank Doyle sadly got injured and was replaced, we've not really had that star netminder in the league, but then we've won 2 league championships. So I think as long as we have a D that's tight around the goaltender, we don't have that much to worry about. Having said that, the forwards so far this season have been pretty good, and we've scored a lot of goals. And again, Matthew Waugh is head and shoulders above the rest, in my opinion, in terms of a forward in the league.
Injury-wise, we've just heard that Levi Nelson's going to be out for quite a few weeks as he nurses. Is it a hand injury? How big a loss is Levi Nelson from the team?
Yeah, he's a big loss. I mean, he might not be the highlight reel player like not necessarily Matthew Waugh, but a Mozienka. But Levi Nelson's always been solid and stable and consistent, and he's the kind of guy you want in your locker room every single game. So I think we will miss him. I think we've said we're not going to replace him in the short term. We've got the two young kids. One of them, though, I think Shudra's away with GB at the moment. Don't know if the other Kirk is as well. But it's the time of the season where I guess losing a body or two doesn't hurt you as much as it may do in the stretch. But yeah, Levi Nelson's a big, big loss for us.
Aaron, what do you think the Giants? We were 1-7 against the Steelers last season. Do we have the team now to overhaul the Steelers?
That's a tricky one. I'll be very interested. I think this is as good a chance. I think we need to put the marker down now. We need to get the win as early as possible in the season. You know, last year we lost a couple early on, and we just, you know, it almost was a bit of a, I don't know whether it was a mental block or whatever. So I think if we could go over there, especially at this stage of the year, get that win and get a bit of confidence behind us for the season. I mean, you look at last year, we lost the league by what, 3-4 points, whatever it was. You win, you know, you split the series with Sheffield, we win the league.
Yeah. Davey?
7-1, I think it was, the Sheffield Steelers went against us last season. You know, you split that series, or maybe you come away with a narrow 4-3 loss in that series and you're league champions. It's as simple as the games against the top teams, you have to come out, you know, you have to split series with them. You have to be able to go to their barn and win the odd game. And my only hope for this weekend is, you know, the way Derek Walser is talking about us being a much more defensively solidified team. We're not going to go on and get involved in a 10-9, whereas Sheffield want to go and get involved in a 10-9. So it might just be a case of you know, the strategy that we're setting up, the system that we're putting in place at the minute might be the right system to get in against this the Sheffield Steelers the way they're playing at the minute.
That way you see it, Hitchy?
Well, I'd be delighted with a 10-9. I mean, last season was pretty crazy, really, because I saw the Giants quite a lot. And in the games I saw you against any other team in the league, you played pretty well. But seemingly, we had the mental number over the Giants in those games. I think the only game you won was the one after the what was it, Boyzone fiasco with rink and all that
Bros.
Stuff. So if the game had actually happened because you played against us that weekend and played well, it probably would have been 6-2. Anyway, bye-bye. I think it's important to kind of, lay down your marker. We don't play each other in the group stage of the cup. This is the first time we're going to meet. As a Steelers fan, I always look to the games against the Belfasts, the Nottinghams and the Cardiffs to really see where we are in terms of, are we good enough again to compete for the league title? So we've split the series of Nottingham. We lost to Cardiff at home. I think it's important for us to get this win on Sunday and show that we are a serious contender to make it 3 in a row.
I'm going to put you on the spot here, considering this is the start of the season and you've only played a handful of league games, if that. You've done back-to-back league championships. You're going for what is termed the three-peat. How likely is it that the Sheffield Steelers could go on to win 3 in a row?
From what I've seen so far, I think it's other teams to lose. I mean, aren't Nottingham running with like 9 lines now? I don't know. They seem to keep signing great players. Cardiff, first season in the new barn. I mean, Bray had have already bottled it. It's not even Halloween yet. I think we've got a great team. We seem to have replaced some of the weaker players last season with perhaps better players. We on paper have a far better netminder, but I don't know. I think it'll be a challenge this season, and I think it'll go right down to the wire again. But I don't know. Davey's the stat man. I don't know who the last team was that won 3 leagues in a row, if it's ever been done. So the weight's going to be on our shoulders for sure.
I don't think it has. Not off the top of my head. Not that I can think of. Or not in the, let's say, the modern era since the millennium. Sorry, excuse me, Willennium. I'm all about the music now. Yeah, but went to Michael Bublé. Anyway. Sorry,
he's a very talented man.
Thanks for joining us, mate. Are you making your way to the arena on Sunday?
No. In the words of the Wenger boys, on Sunday morning I'll be heading to Birmingham Airport and I'm going to Ibiza.
Well, that's right. Enjoy that. The game is on Sunday, 5 p.m. at the Motorpoint Arena, and you can get the coverage with Jonathan Fernley on Steelers TV. Thanks, mate.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
I was going to move on to any other business. I guess there is one piece of any other business in regards to that Sheffield game, Davey.
Yeah, and it's great news coming out of Sheffield. There's been a bit of a collaboration between Sheffield and Belfast, and it's good to see the positives coming out between the two clubs when there's been so much negative stuff over the last number of years. Young Blake McCaggy hasn't been too well. Blake Wheels, you can follow him on Twitter. He's a great wee lad, and Brilliant. He's obviously had the piece on the UTV and all the other week there, and he's being the guest of the Sheffield Steelers this week. They're putting him up in a box, flying him over, hotel stay. I think Laura Small's going to be involved in going over with the family and making sure that they have an absolutely... I think it's going to be his first away trip, obviously, with his illness and stuff. He hasn't been able to travel, and he gets down to the SSE every game and gets a real buzz, as do the players. The players get a massive buzz from meeting Blake and these kids after games and seeing them and interacting with them. So it's great that he's going to be able to get an away game. We've been very fortunate over a lot of years that, away home games are brilliant, don't get me wrong, but away games are fantastic. You're going into the bear pit, you're going in against the opposition. It's a different atmosphere. It's us against them much more than when you're at home. So I hope you have an absolutely brilliant time, Blake. Credit the Sheffield Steelers for getting involved in this. As I said, there's been a lot of negative stuff over the years, but this is definitely a feather in their cap.
Hear, hear. Aaron?
Yeah, I just want to say congratulations to Robert and all the guys for completing their latest challenge during the week there. some with a cycle with a couple of little hills, I think they managed to get over. So, well done to them, and we'll stick the details up again on Twitter if anyone wants to help out. I guess the only thing now about that is that it means that Robert's got a bit of free time to think up his next plan, and I'm not sure that we really want that to happen.
I'm worried about that, but I want to check that bike of Robert's. I'm sure there was batteries involved somewhere. There's no way.
you're getting a phone call in the morning.
And on that note, thanks to Derek Walser, Blair Riley, Michael Forney, David Rutherford, congratulations on his Player of the Month award. And thanks to Hitchy for joining us as well. And a big thanks to you two gents for waiting a couple of days on me messing about. Thanks.
Yeah, Paddy, cheers. Good talk, boys.
Yeah, I mean, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Oh, dear.
Bravo, Mahar.
Let me go home. Anyway, wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Steal you right.